Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We've got to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you, do some research, go to websites, look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome, listeners, to City on a Hill. We are so thankful that you tune in. As always, we just cannot thank God enough, really, for the great gifts that he allows to come on the show. And today we're so pleased to have Dr. Alveda King on with us, and we're hoping that Tea Party Italy's Luca Bocci is going to be joining us. He is so excited to have to be on with Dr. King. But I see that Don Wildman has joined us. Hi, Don. I think Don has joined us. It might be Luca. Is that you, Luca?
Yep. Yep, that was me.
Oh, God bless you. Okay, Luca. I thought I heard from Don, and she said she's going to be on later. Oh, that is good. Well, let's get this started, because Dr. King cannot stay on very long. So if you don't mind, Miss Barbara, would you mind starting us off in prayer?
I would love to, Diana, and before I do, I'd just like to say that Dr. Alveda King is a lady of great accomplishment, and she's a former college professor, a noted author, a civil rights activist. She works with Dr. Frank Pavone of Priests for Life as director of African American Outreach for the Gospel of Life and so forth. But her one goal in everything she does, and she does help others fulfill God's plan for each life, spiritually, personally, mentally, economically, in every way. But her one goal through all of this is to glorify God. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, that is our goal also, to glorify you, Lord. And we pray that you would be glorified in this time. Have your way, O God. And, Father, that your word would go forth mightily throughout the earth, Father, to glorify you, O God, and for the good of mankind. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ms. Barbara. And Dr. King, we're not going to have you on very long. I know Luca is just itching to talk to you, but first I'd like to just get a little take from you about the field of presidential candidates that's before us. Do you see a really great hope in the future for some of those candidates that they will make a difference in America's future? I know that life is so important to you, so if you'd like to just share a little input on that.
Well, I believe that it's not a secret that I was supporting my good friend, Mr. Herman Cain, when he was in the presidential race. He's not, of course, but he is still promoting many of the programs that he felt so strongly about, the 999, the opportunity zones, rebuilding the communities, strengthening families, standing for life. He was a very, he's a very pro-life man. He and his wife, a very beautiful family and very beautiful additions to the global community. So now that he is out of the race, I am not really helping any of the other candidates, but I'm definitely praying for all of the candidates. And I believe that I'm really asking God to change the heart of America. That includes the candidates, that includes President Obama, that includes those members of the Senate and the House of the United States, the governors, the county commissioners, the state legislators, the mayors, everyone who's in authority. I'm praying for all of them that we can have a peaceful life. So do I believe that there is hope among the candidates? I am actually putting my hope in the Lord and my faith in the Lord, but I believe that we have an obligation as voters to vote for those candidates that most closely align with what we believe. I think that's what really happened in Iowa. And actually, there were about 58 people who cast a vote for Herman Cain. If they had perhaps voted for Senator Santorum or, you know, one of the other candidates, then that could have made a difference. There were only 8 votes between the two front runners in Iowa. New Hampshire is on the way now, I guess, tomorrow. So I believe someone circulated an email. I believe it's Thomas Hall, who has been affiliated with Lou Engle and the Call, both prayer warriors. I think he said we have responsibility as Christians to remember that we are Christians, and in enforcing our duty and our privilege as citizens of the United States to vote, then we must still remember that we are Christians when we vote. So I do want to encourage everyone to do that as we continue to go to the polls across the next several months.
Thank you, Ms. King and Dr. King, and it is so important to know first that we are follower of Christ and his ways, and be mindful of that. We're not certainly smarter than God, and I've seen some of the remarks of some of the candidates, which makes them sound like they think they know better than God. But anyway, I'm going to go on to Luca. And Luca, I know you just want to talk to Dr. King, but, you know, you've got young people there in Italy that's really hurting, like young people here today. And a lot of them really have had a mindset that the government is going to take care of them. And that's what Dr. King's trying to get away from. We know that we're creations of God, and we could do more. So if you've got a question or a comment for her, you can go ahead.
Yeah, well, obviously there will be thousands of things that I would really love to discuss with Dr. King. Because, actually, I admire her a lot, and I admire her work that she's doing. And actually, her speech in Washington during the Glenn Beck reunion, it was actually very moving, and I was blessed enough to be able to watch this. And she's been very inspiring for most people, also around the world. So that's what I wanted to convey to her, that actually her work is not only important for the United States of America and the American people, but for people all around the world, because this is what I'm feeling that most people in the U.S. don't really get. It's just that the world is watching every single thing you do, every single word you say, the world is watching. And this is actually very important, because if problems in America are big, because they are big, they are actually very great. But in countries like continental Europe, problems are way worse than that. Because in America, the entitlement mentality is progressing. But in Europe, it's been established. It's there. It's a fact. Everybody's thinking that, you know, the government will take care of it. And so they don't really need to think about their future. Because, yeah, the government will take care of it. And now the system is collapsing. And so it's a harsh awakening for most people. Because they have been brought in thinking that the government is good. Government will take care of everything. You just have to, you know, pay. You be a nice citizen and do that. It doesn't really matter if you are a decent human being. It doesn't really matter if you have a family. It doesn't really matter anything. Yeah, the government will take care of everything. And now you're seeing that the whole society is collapsing because of that. And this is actually what we always want to tell to every American citizen. And to every, you know, believer in America, just don't think that it's not important what you're doing. You are doing something that is very important, because the rest of the world can look up to America and say, well, if they made it, we can make it as well. So it's a message of hope and of prayer, definitely, because I concur with Dr. King when she said that every voter in the voting booth has to vote with his conscience and think that the candidates have to really reflect your values. And if you're not really convinced, well, ask guidance to our Lord, because our Lord knows better, definitely. That's it.
Dr. King?
Yes, I'm here. As I heard all of those reflections, I agree with that. And I believe as we move, you know, 2011, the number 11 can mean, upheaval a little bit and a little confusion and all of that. 2011 was not really a confusing year, but it was a year where we knew we were moving towards something. In 2012, 12 means order. It means government. And so there's going to be order in the government. We've got to keep an attitude of family. We've got to keep an attitude of life. For me, that's life from conception until natural death. And so, you know, we have to be charitable and giving towards one another. And we want to be productive. One thing stood out, government entitlement. That means the government's supposed to take care of me, and I'm entitled to that. I have no obligation nor responsibility. I'm also not going to be empowered. My dignity is not going to come into play where I feel that I'm helping to build and contribute to a productive society. And certainly we've got to have more than of that. We have to be a giving people, rather than just on the receiving end. And when we participate together like that with agape love, God's kind of love, then we certainly will have a better community, a better nation, a better world.
Thank you, Dr. King. And I think that's a lesson that really you can see the impact of it in Europe because of the, you know, the young people, and we see the Occupy Wall Street. If they could just hear what is really in the heart of people like Luca, who are seeing what the young people in Europe are also going through, but that, you know, they know there is a better way, just like you do, Dr. King. And Luca, are you seeing any improvement in the young people's attitude? Are they starting to wake up and maybe join the Tea Party?
Well, of course, yeah, the movement is growing everywhere, also in other countries in Europe, but it's still very much below the, you know, underwater. It's difficult to actually realize how many people there are, because right now we are facing pretty much a media shutdown, so you don't talk about these kind of things. It's crazy. You can feel the atmosphere. I was in Italy up until last week, and I've been hearing people that they were talking and they were saying, yeah, taxes are too high, government is spending way too much money. And so they are kind of slowly waking up to the idea that maybe more government is not the answer and more lavish expenditure programs are not the answer to the society's problems. So it is quite, because I think that most young people right now, they come to realize, they can feel it, they don't acknowledge it, you know, from a conscious point of view, but they can feel that the government promises are empty. They can feel that they will never get a public pension. They will feel that they will have to pay for their own health insurance because the government-run program will collapse. And this is what most people are thinking, but they still are not empowered enough. They think, yes, it's just me. What can I do? The government is big, it's powerful. They can do everything. They can come to you and take away your house and take away your money and throw you into jail, just like that. In a moment, we're seeing people and people that just go there, they do and say something that is not according to the government's plan, and they get thrown into jail, just like this. And it's crazy because, you know, without the rule of law, without a constitutional system that is designed to protect the individual, you are really at the mercy of the whim of the government. So the government can decide in 1 second, yeah, I know, I'm taking your house. Yeah, you're rich, I'm taking your house. And that was crazy. And so right now you have this disconnect between what people think that is the right thing to do, but they don't know how to do it. And this is where the Tea Party movement steps in and to say, yes, we have a way. So if you come to us and if you join us together, we can make a difference. We can change things. It's not going to be as fast as we want because we would really like to act now and be effective now. But unfortunately, I think it's going to take a little bit more of time. Let's hope and pray that, yes, yeah, definitely.
Well, I like what you said, hope and pray, hope and pray. And, you know, the media would poo-poo that part where faith really belongs in the field of politics. It should move leaders to be accountable because they have a God watching over them. And Dr. King, what would you say to a lot of this mainstream media that does poke fun at faith and the people of faith, and, you know, and that really tries to follow it as far as their part in politics?
Well, you know, following in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, and I think that is always going to be our best role model as far as I can determine and know. But he did not take a lot of time kind of worrying about whether people believed it or did it. He just kept promoting it and demonstrating the truth, demonstrating the principles of faith. The rewards are very obvious because when people are operating in faith, there are tremendous blessings, and they are easily seen. And the people who tend to have the blessings because of faith and God moving in their lives, as we give God the glory, is irrefutable. So people may laugh at it, but other people are watching. So we have to continue to hold up the banner, to shine the light of the Lord, to have faith. You know, the Bible talks about faith, hope, and love, or charity, the greatest of these being love. And so as we, you know, faith works by love. So as we continue to demonstrate these mighty and wonderful acts of goodness and charity and truth, people will begin to take notice, and the naysayers will find that people will begin to pay less and less attention to that. I mean, you know, the world can be very evil and very cold, and we see that. But there's another scripture I'm reminding of where sin abounds, grace abounds that much more. And I've told my children, I am the mother of 6 living children. Of course, I have 2 aborted and 1 miscarried in the days that I was walking in darkness. And then I have 9 grandchildren right now. And I'm always telling them, I say, God's bigger than the devil, children. And so as we continue to demonstrate that without judgment, without pointing fingers, without acting that we know it all, but that God has given us all that we need, I know that people will continue to follow. I'm just sure of that.
Wow, Dr. King,
I like that.
Mm-hmm, I do too. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I have one word. Tebow.
Oh, wow. Tim, you know, my children, come in when the game's on. They're not children, they're adults. But my son, Modest Tim Tebow, man, he's doing it again. I know you're going to say it's miracles, Mama, but we're looking at it. These are miracles. And so we just need to pray that we'll have more of that. And people, what can you say? When you see a miracle like Tim Tebow, his mother was advised
That's
to abort him. She said, no, I'm not
That's
aborting
true.
My child. And now he's one of the greatest miracles of our time. I mean, how could you deny that? The media can't even get away with laughing at that one.
That's Wow. Well, we should not have a spirit of fear, and as we're seeing, God is at work, and he's holding up Tim Tebow. And to Luca, I know that he's holding up you and others in your country of Italy for such a time as this. So we're so grateful. And Miss Barbara, would you like to ask Dr. King, another question?
Well, I'd like to know what's on her heart, because as a follower of Jesus Christ and her desire to glorify God, I feel like whatever is on her heart is on the Lord's heart. And the other thing that I would like to request is that before she leaves us, and I know she must leave us soon, if she would pray for our nation and pray for the world before she signs off today. Thank you.
Well, I'd be happy to do that, and to have a young man like Luca on the phone representing the millions of young people all over the planet who are looking for hope and truth and light. It's my greatest desire that the young people will stay on fire and that the fire will increase and burn and burn. I pray that the fire from the young people will make the old people remember. It will inspire us and wake us up, and those of us who are not shining our light. We'll be caused to shine our light because of the fire that's burning in the young. That remains my desire, and that's the fire of the gospel, the fire of the truth. And as these parties emerge, you've got the Tea Party or the various parties, that we'll remember that it's not the politics, but to pray for those who are in authority that we can have a peaceful life. Lord, we do pray right now for America. When we say, God bless America, God heal America, God revive America in the name of Jesus. Lord, we are asking in our spirits, in our souls, in our bodies, our emotions, our finances, our relationships towards each other, that we'll be revived and refreshed, that the law of love will rise and transcend any other law, that it will no longer be fighting over political parties, but, Lord, that we'll be preparing for that great Lamb Supper, that great banquet in the days ahead. And so, Lord, we pray for America, repenting, me leading the way as one who definitely always must repent and to be restored in the love of God. I plead the blood of Jesus. And so, Lord, we just pray for all who are watching or hearing this broadcast, oh God, and we thank you for all that you have done and will do in the name of Jesus. My dear friends, I must depart from you to take another message, but God bless you. Thank you.
God bless you, Dr. Q. Thank you. We'll talk to you again, hopefully, in the future. Oh, Luca, well,
yep.
I think she appreciated what you had to say, and I know I did, and it really, and, you know, she's just a wise woman. You know, she's went through the fire. She knows what life is all about. And at the bottom of the well, she knows where the water comes from, the living water comes from. That will, you know, people will talk like, oh, it's about the economy, stupid. But as we've talked before, it's really about who drives a man's heart. I mean, you have a Barney Frank, you choose a leader like that, and what have you got? It ruins not just one place, like in the United States. Unfortunately, it affects even Europe and the rest of the world. So we do have to know about what makes a man what he is. And faith is very important.
Yeah, well, definitely. It's actually, in this time of crisis, people tend to look a lot at, you know, just the economic part of everything. And you tend to forget about that government decisions, they're not just motivated by economic theory or by economic, you know, motives. There is just something else. And people tend to forget that, you know, as actions have consequences, what's in your heart has a huge consequence because your actions are influenced by that. So if you are not a believer and if you just think that the government knows better, that, you know, bureaucrats knows better, that, you know, the valedictocracy, as Mr. I can't remember his name. Yeah, but it was this beautiful. I think Codevilla, Miss Angela Codevilla, wrote this amazing article last year. It just transformed it into a book. And it said that right now, most of Europe and America, they're trying to be dominated by this class of people who think that they know better than their peers, they know better than God, they know better than anyone. Because for their whole life in school, in university, they've been, you know, told that you know better, we know better, we have the solutions. So you just step aside, you just do what I say, and that's it. But this is just what it seems. You don't see what's in their heart, and you don't see their motives. Their final motives is always about control, is always about taking away your freedom. And so that's why they hate people of faith, and they really hate with all their hearts people who just have a decent life. And that's why they are promoting with the medias, and they're promoting with their laws and everything, they're promoting what we consider deviant behavior. We consider that it's not natural for a 16-year-old kid in school to have a child and without a father, and without being married, and to engage in random acts of sex and stuff like that. It's not normal. It's not the way to build a society there and tell kids in high school, yeah, you can smoke whatever you want. You can drink whatever you want. It's fine. Go ahead. There is always someone else that is going to clean up your mess. It's easy. Yeah, go ahead. You know, the road to hell is high and wide, of course, and we know that. But this is really the fight. The fight that we have is a cultural fight. We have to reconquer the heart of our youth, because the youth right now, it's kind of lost. They have no reference points. Because if you step up and you say, well, you know, there is one book, I'm sure you'll find it in your house. It's called the Holy Bible. It's the Word of God. Read it and try to learn from it. They're going to just say, oh, yeah, you're a bigot. You're, no, I don't want to associate with you. You are, no, you're a Christian. And you just think, yes, I am. I'm pretty proud of being a Christian. And what is wrong with that? And they say, yeah, but in school they've told me that Christians are really bad people and this and that. And you just come to realize that this is not the society that our fathers and our grandfathers have built. It's something different. It's changed so much, it's hardly recognizable. I'm wondering if the founding fathers of the Republic would come back to life as an act of God, they would come here and go to Washington and see what is happening in America. They would be so ashamed of us, of all the world, and of Americans, obviously. They would be really ashamed and say, okay, we kind of knew that this was possible. Because if you read the Federalist Papers, if you read, you know, the work that was behind the Constitution, you think that they knew better. They knew that this was coming, and they prepared us. And for 100 years, it worked. But then something went completely wrong, and right now we have to rebuild everything. And this is really have to do. Go ahead.
Well, I just was going to make a remark, and then Ms. Barbara, if you want to respond to Luca. I was just thinking it when you were saying that, Luca, I was thinking of how Jesus cleaned house, you know, as a temple, you know, overturned the money changers' tables, and, you know, and I can just imagine that righteous indignation rising up, you know, the founders, you know, were here. But you know, you really need some kind of righteous indignation, because bottom line, what we are doing, what the culture have been doing, our governments have been doing, in essence, is stealing the future of the young people with the lies that they have been feeding them. The bottom line is they are the ones that's going to be most hurt, because we're going to see a lot of broken people out of work, helpless and hopeless, when the very opposite is true. You know, they could be something else. I mean, they have got opportunities before them, but and I just get mad right now just thinking of what we're doing to them. We have lied. There's so much massive lies being fed to our young people. It should be a crime. Ms. Barbara?
Absolutely. I agree with the two of you. And it should be a crime. And we have allowed it to happen over the last century, particularly, not just here in America, but all over the world. And we haven't given them the foundation. We haven't given young people in these many years the foundation, and that foundation being, as Lucas said, the Word of God. And that is the basis for all the good that we have ever experienced, all the opportunity, all the freedom, all the prosperity, the high standard of justice. It all goes back to the Bible as the basis for all of that, and we have turned away from the Bible. I wanted to also comment about something that Luca said a bit earlier about what's happening in places in Europe where people are being put in jail for political opinions or just not pleasing the government, and just, you know, they're putting them in jail and throwing away the key. And in our United States Constitution, in Article 1, Section 9, things that Congress is forbidden to do, one of those things is to do just that. There will never be a bill of attainder allowed in the United States which permits punishment without being convicted of a crime. No bill of attainder, and that's in Article 1, Section 9. Also, the writ of habeas corpus will not be suspended. And that means that our government is not permitted to put someone in jail without a charge, that they know what they're being charged with and that they are able to defend themselves against that charge. Now, having said all that, that it is in the Constitution, having said that, it's imperative that the people know our Constitution and know our rights as well as our responsibilities, and that the people who are in positions of power and authority in government know the Constitution. We've got to have all of that for it to work, or we're no better protected than the people in Europe who do not have that Constitution. And we've spoken about that before, Luca, and you have expressed your appreciation and respect and regard for the United States Constitution. One last thing. And it has to do with that, and it's something that Thomas Jefferson said that I think that you'll like a lot, Luca, because you really brought our attention to it, particularly when you stated that the United States Constitution stands between the world government, and that's what does stand between us and world government, one world government. But Thomas Jefferson said, though written constitutions may be violated in moments of passion or delusion, they furnish a text to which those who are watchful may again rally and recall the people. They fix, too, for the people, the principles of their political creed. And I say a big amen to that. I am grateful for our Constitution.
It is true, but actually, this is one part of the problem, because first, people in America, they don't know really well what the Constitution really stands for, because there's been a lot of disinformation and a lot of jurisprudence by the Supreme Court and by the federal courts that is trying to just, nudge the meaning of the Constitution a little bit away from what the founders meant. So this is a big problem. But the other big problem is that people in America need to be really careful, because the governments in Europe, they did not start like this. So it was just because they found the crisis, and like Rahm Emanuel used to say, never let a good crisis go to waste. And this is what it will happen. If the big problem arises, they will always say, no, but this problem is too serious. Habeas corpus is too limiting. We need our police, we need the FBI, we need the CIA to be free to do whatever they want for the good of the government, for the good of the republic. And so in order to protect you, we need to take away a bit of your freedom. And this is where it's going to be dangerous, because there will always be a great excuse for that, for taking away a bit of your freedom. Not really that much, just a bit, just a little bit. A little bit in here, a little bit there, and then you will become right now, like we... And sometimes the governments, when the governments think that they can be, they can get away with everything, they will do it, and they will try to get away with everything, and they will pass laws, and you don't even know that they passed them, because actually we just realized that on December the 30th, at 22:50 at night, the Italian government passed a law that was giving extra power to the IRS to take away pretty much everything beyond, without having to prove anything. And they just passed this law, and nobody's talking about it. And they just said, everybody's going to be on vacation. We can get away with it. Yeah, we'll just pass this one. Gone. Okay, now. And you have to respect it. And you just wake up one day, and you just realize, hold on a second. No, this is not the way we planned. So obviously, you've got to be careful, because if we, the people, don't stand up and really just give them a warning and say, guys, no, this is against the Constitution, you cannot get away with it. Even if the excuse, the best one ever, even if they're saying, oh my God, but this is just because we want to go against this Wall Street fat cats that taking away money from the workers and stuff. Yeah, so let's take away all banking secrecy. Yeah, so that obviously we can get in their bank accounts and know how much they earn so they can pay taxes. And all the people, obviously emotional, they would say, yeah, great, great idea. Yeah, everyone should pay. Then you come to realize that the law wasn't really written in a way to just go against the FATCA. But obviously the law applies to everyone. So they can also go in your bank account and check what you have. And then from that, you just, you know, being able to confiscate whatever you want, the principle now stands. And so they will just move from there. And this is what they are doing. In Europe, they've been doing that for ages. In America, it's probably a little bit more recent. But they're doing that a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time. Not too much, because otherwise the people will wake up and they will say, no, 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 we cannot have that. Just a little bit. That's why you need to be really careful and really be vigilant, because they will always come up with an excuse to just take away a bit of your freedom. Not too much.
That's
well,
right.
I think the Obama overreach, I'm hoping people don't forget here, Luca, Ms. Barbara, but you know, when you see, unfortunately, who is on the top of the polls, and I think to myself, have they forgotten Obamacare? And this man is pretty much the founder, the co-founder of Obamacare, which is going to destroy America's economy. But yet, he is on top of the poll, and I'm hoping, well, God have mercy on us. You know, open our eyes to see. It's like we're so forgetful, Luca, so forgetful,
yep.
Even when we have it in the headlines.
No, this is why the problem is really, it's really a problem of communication. It's really about having to find alternate ways to just spread the message. Social networks can work, can help. But really, if the every single faithful, every single citizen needs to be, you know, needs to be a beacon of light for his neighbors, for his stuff. We've got to go back to a community. It's going to be difficult because right now, I don't know, in some places in America, communities are still vibrant. They're still alive and they work very well. But all over the world, I can see in Europe, it's really difficult because you don't know your neighbors. I've been living in this street in London for the past year, and I don't know my neighbors. I don't know one of them. I just go straight to work, and I go back home, and I go to church, and that's it. I don't know my neighbors, so I don't know what they think. I don't know what they're like, and so it's really complicated because if you rely on media to just give you a correct image of what is happening, well, we know actually where this road is taking us because it's been this way for the past 40 years. They will take us to a big government and world government and whatever they want because it's that is their agenda. They will try to be reasonable once in a while so that people put their faith in them. But obviously, they have an agenda. They know what they're doing. And we should be aware of our plan. We should have an agenda as well. Every single one of us should have an agenda and say, I will inform myself, but I will not keep the truth to myself. I will spread the truth around because the truth will set us free. That is what is important. But it's difficult because we all have our lives, we all have our jobs, we all have our problems with the family and everything. And you're just going to think, where will I find the time to do that? And this is really a big, big problem because this crisis, this situation is requiring each of us an extra level of effort. And I don't know, personally, I don't know if I can do that. I'm not being a good of the cause because I don't really have physically the time to just go there and try to know my neighbors and build a community and work here. I don't have time to do that. And I feel guilty for that. But that's the only thing I can do. I can just talk to people and say, well, we are all in the same boat. We should all be concerned about this. And we should all try to do a little bit. Maybe not too much. Maybe I'm too inflexible. I'm asking too much of myself. I would really like to do more. And that should be what everybody of us would be thinking, because, you know, an ocean is made by droplets of water, and all of us bring our own drop of water. We can destroy what they're thinking, because they think they know better, but God is with us, obviously. So we have a big ally up there.
You just made me think of a way to, Luca. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Miss Barbara.
Well, I was just going to say I appreciate so much, Luca, what you are doing, and I believe that you will be able to do more in the future, that the Lord will open doors for you to speak and communicate on an even greater scale, because I believe that is your gift, that you're able to analyze and evaluate and then to communicate truth. And another thing, I am just so blessed that you know so much about America. And when you said that about that there are still communities in this great country that are vibrant, and you're right. And that just blesses me that you know that, and you do know so much about America and the heart of America and the founding of America and you know, what we believe in, our ideals, and all of that. So, but I also, you know, want to remind you that that we, many of us, have such a great appreciation for everything Italian as well. You know, we've talked about Christopher Columbus and how he opened the curtain that led others through this door to bring Christendom here and Western civilization and planted here, and how lives been dramatically changed from that point. But also I wanted to share just a little bit about another one of my favorite Italians, Constantino Brumidi. And Diana and I have talked about this at different times, but as you know, he came to the United States as a political refugee, and he had been a renowned painter in the Vatican, and he was the best of the best. And when he came to this country, he was so grateful for the freedom that it offered him and everyone that comes to its shores, that he said, you know, I no longer aspire to fame and fortune. He said, I want to live the rest of my life making beautiful this one place where freedom dwells. And he was going to beautify our United States Capitol. I don't know if you've seen it, but he accomplished his goal. And he spent the rest of his life doing just that. And from one end of the Capitol to the very top, where he painted the rotunda. And by the way, like Michelangelo, he was 4 years on his back on the scaffolding, the infrastructure, way, 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 way up high. I don't know how many feet, but painting that dome, the apotheosis of George Washington. And but throughout the Capitol, he truly did beautify it. And as he was on that scaffolding, he slipped and almost fell to his death, was able to hold on until help arrived, but that precipitated his premature death then soon after. But he did indeed spend his entire life, from the time he stepped upon the soil of this land of freedom, he spent his life beautifying our capital. And one of the things that blesses me so about him also is everything that he painted. And, oh, he was a master. Oh, a master. But everything he painted, he would sign Constantino Brumidi, United States citizen. It meant so much to him. And I wanted to share that with you, Luca.
Yeah. I wonder why in Italy nobody ever talks about it. I really wonder why. That's what you don't want. This is the part of America that people, that governments around the world don't want you to see. Because if, you know, nobody in Italy is talking about it. I know he was a really good painter, but when you're studying about the history of art or anything, they never talk about him. Never. So you always have the good ones. The good ones are the ones that stayed in Italy, are the ones that stayed in the Vatican, and are the ones that stayed in the courts of the kings, and they were the reasonable ones. We don't want to talk about people who just left, who just went to the place where actually there is real freedom and there is real faith. No, 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 we don't want to talk about them. No, 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 they are, no, they're not there. So if you go there, I'm sure that pretty much every Italian, if he goes to Washington and looks at the painting, they would not know that an Italian citizen. They would not know because nobody talks about him. Nobody talks about Filippo Mazzei, the guy that was there at the Declaration of Independence, and he was the one that just gave the idea about pursuit of happiness because they wanted to write something different in the Declaration of Independence about that, and they just said, no, 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 that's the correct phrasing, you know, the pursuit of happiness. And this is a part, he was a part of the American Revolution, and he was born pretty much in my region. He was a few miles away from where I was born. I know his descendants, they still have a great wine company over there. I know a lot of them, and they know that, but even in Italy, nobody talks about him because they don't want people to know that there is a different way, that there is a way. They want people to stay, and they want people to be subservient. They want people to be good citizens. But this is what is different. In the American Constitution and in the American system, to be a good citizen means a lot. You need to be proactive. You need to be engaged. You need to be aware. You need to know your history. You need to, you know, to be a good citizen. In Europe, being a good citizen is different. You need to follow orders. You need to shut up. You need to stay silent, stay in line, do what you're told, and that's it. This is the problem. This is the problem because in Europe, we've been taught our whole lives that the individual is too weak to make it without the government. The state is the one that matters. You are just a cog in the machine, in the apparatus. In America, obviously, everything is different. And that's why so many people around the world look to America. And also for this, and there are so many other things and so many other ways. So maybe people in America don't know how they are special, because they are special. I've been having this thing. This is just personal. It's just I'm in my office and in my work, I try to give 110% of what I do. I think it's normal. I think it's natural. If there is a problem, even if it's not my responsibility, I will do everything I can to fix it. And my colleagues, they are looking at me and they are saying, why the hell are you doing that? It's not your responsibility. And I say, well, the problem is there. I want to solve it. I cannot just stop and say, somebody fix it. I have to try and fix it. Maybe it's not the best way, but I'm trying. And they are saying, oh, no, you're stupid. You're working too much. You're not paid for that. And I'm thinking, I'm still thinking that it's not wrong what I'm doing. In America, probably this would be considered normal. It would be, you know, a good worker will try to do that. But in Europe, it's considered odd. I'm the one that, if I stay a couple of hours extra to try and fix some problems, and obviously I'm not paid for that, they will think, oh my God, he's crazy. He's a workaholic. He doesn't have a life. And I say, no, I think it's my responsibility. Because this is what I'm thinking. America is so different from that point of view. And that's why most people around the world are looking up to America. Obviously, if America stays what we know and love, if it will change and become, you know, the carbon copy of Europe, well, God only knows what will happen.
How good a God, you know, to give us an example of how men and women of all colors, different places, can get along and be the best. If God be at the center, if God be at the head, and that is America, Luca. And I love what you said, Luca, because You know, why you do what you do is really because you have that servant's heart. You know that what you do ultimately benefits somebody, be it your company, be it a brother, a sister, somebody you work with. It makes things better, easier, and it's what God would want you to do. He's the one you're being accountable to. You know what's right, and you're doing it. And isn't that what it's all about, Miss Barbara? God is so good. We know that He's watching us. And I'm sure, you know, it's like He's going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant, because you are trying to follow His ways. And I'm just really, I'm so blessed hearing what Luca has to say. And Luca, you just gave me an idea. I think I'm going to start making T-shirts that's got things that I want people to learn about, you know, that they need to learn, be it politics or be it Constitution, because, you know, they can't turn off my T-shirt if I'm in front of them or I'm behind them. How about that, Ms. Barbara?
That sounds great. Hey, listen, you know, Luca, this idea that we can do and we will do all sorts of things has been really fostered into the hearts of Americans up until recent years. We really were taught and really absorbed the truth that we are created by God to be, that we're fearfully and wonderfully made, and that we're created to produce and achieve and succeed and do all sorts of phenomenal things in our lives, and God wants to fulfill His purpose in us and for His glory and the good of others. And but that has really been fostered in the hearts and minds of Americans. And then, in addition to that, in our Constitution, in Article 1, Section 8, the Founding Fathers, to promote knowledge and science among the people, from 1787, they put in the Constitution that the people, as they achieve and produce, they can have their works protected, their ideas protected, and so that they can produce from their own intellectual property, that they can produce and profit from it. And so we have copyrights and patents, which protect by law our ideas and so forth, to the degree that we went on with 8% of the world's population. We went on to create over 90% of the world's wealth. That's created wealth. So that was just fostered in us. Now that is no longer taught, it's no longer really shared much in our country today. But when it was, we did prosper and we did succeed and achieve beyond anyone's wildest imagination.
Yep, it is true. It is true that America has always will have, you know, a kind of extra, because, you know, there is always people around the world that really look up to America and really would like to be Americans, because they feel that they are, you know, they are part of this nation that transcends borders, because the idea of America is so powerful that men around the world, including myself, obviously, are just feeling like part of the. That's why a bit before I just realized that I said the Founding Father would be ashamed of what we did. Obviously, I'm not American. I'm not an American citizen. But I was talking in terms of I'm a part of this American nation that transcends the border. I'm not a United States citizen, but I am part of this American nation that is outside the borders of America. And there is always this part. And I realized this a bit ago, not really that much, because I was talking about the way that English people around work, they seem to be always watching the clock and saying, oh, yeah, I have to stay here another 45 minutes. They would always take their time. They never seemed to be in a rush. If you see someone in the office or in a factory or somewhere that is running, most of the time is not a British citizen, is coming from somewhere else. Because obviously we can appreciate the level of freedom that we have in the UK. It's not really America, but it's a lot better than most of Europe. And so you want to make a life, you want to make it. So that's why you have this little bit of extra energy. You know, I was talking with a friend of mine, and he's a Polish engineer. He's not doing the job that he was trained to do, but it's a lot better than what he was doing back home. And we were talking about this fact that this huge office, and they pretty much stopped because something was not working and nobody was moving. They stayed there for 2 or 3 hours doing nothing because they didn't know who was in charge. And they didn't know they were supposed to do nothing, so they went there, they had their tea, they were there, they were chatting. For 3 hours, they did nothing. And I was wondering, and I just talked to this friend of mine, and I said, my God, I really don't know how this country can still be, you know, a world power. How can they still be effective? And he told me something that opened my eyes, and he said, well, look at us. We are running this country. We foreigners. I was just thinking, you know what, maybe it's right. Maybe it is right. So when they are saying that people coming to America or UK or whatever, they can't be a resource, they're not entirely wrong. They are just making the wrong assumption. I'm talking about legal migrants, people that come to America, to the UK and everything, but obviously legally and with work, with everything, with a job. So it can be a resource. That's why America became so great, because you had people coming from all over the world. What was written in the Statue of Liberty is actually, they're just they give me your poor and, I can't remember the exact word, untrodden masses and stuff like that. It was not just like saying, give your poor to us because we are so good. No, no, no. It was a challenge. I think Glenn Beck said it was a challenge to the world. America was proud and said, give us the poor. Give us who you don't want. We will make them. We will make them. Yeah, we can make it. This is the can-do spirit. This is what we really admire about America. And this is what it's more and more difficult to find nowadays. Because when I see the President of the United States going around the world and, you know, bowing his head and apologizing for America, I'm just looking at him and saying, really? No. What for? What? We should apologize. We are so rich. Yeah, you're not rich. It wasn't created by your act. It was the American people that worked 18
That's
hours
right.
a day, 20 hours a day, not even sleeping, working so hard because they wanted to make it. It's the American people. The American people made America what it is. Their work, their ingenuity, their faith, their courage, their hard work. This is what made America what it is, not the government. And this is what many people are not realizing right now. Go ahead.
And Luca, and it started off with the fear and awe of God. You know, we don't have to be the smartest people in the world to be creative, to do things. But if we put our faith in Him, that is the beginning of wisdom, because He says He will give it liberally, and He does not lie. But you reminded me of a British TV host that toured America in a London cab. I can't remember his name, Luca, but I remember the story. You probably know who he is, but I remember him talking about going to Alabama and watching an Alabama-Auburn game, which, you know, Alabama's playing tonight for the national title against LSU, so watch that list if you can.
Yep.
But what was so amazing was I watched that video. I was so touched because, you know, he sees these different teams, you know, and they act like they hate each other and, you know, just all sorts of stuff. But it's a college team, but yet everybody across the state comes. It's like a professional football game with all the crowds. And a lot of hoopla,
yep.
a lot of hollering and whatever on both sides of the aisle. But then they start singing the national anthem. And it's like, peace broke out in the world and both sides joining together singing the national anthem. And then they had a flyover of some jets overhead, you know, at the very end. And you look at this man, and he had tears. He had tears. You know, you could tell that this just really touched him because it's seeing the best of man. We can fight all that we want to, but there comes a point when we really can gather together peacefully. You know, all the fury and whatever, you know, can be put down, and you can see men coming together. And they came together with a thing of, you know, the national anthem. And so I just think about, you know, wherever freedom reigns or wherever there's men like you, Luca, that loves freedom, you have a kinship. You have a kinship for us.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm not
really ashamed to say that when I was at the Texas and Lone Star, I'm forgetting the name. It was the tax day protest last year in April. I was in Dallas, and I was there. I was supposed to talk to the crowd. I did talk to the crowd, and there was a Pledge of Allegiance. And I was reciting the Pledge of Allegiance, and a friend of mine just looked at me and said, "Why the hell are you crying?" And I felt the words. It wasn't really conscious. I wasn't obviously making it. I'm not that good an actor. And they were really surprised and said, "Why?" And I said, "How can you not be moved by this? You know, just look at the words. You know, and right now there are people who don't want it to be recited in the schools because they say, yeah, it's not American. What can there be more American than the Pledge of Allegiance?" And people don't realize that. And that's why sometimes you need somebody who can still feel the words for what they are. And that's why you just, and this is, I know some people say, "Oh, yeah, you're too sentimental." I know, yeah, I'm Italian. I'm allowed to be sentimental, but it's true.
Well, your heart recognized truth. And there's nothing like, you know, God in all this. And Ms. Barbara, we've gone over the show, and
I know.
To keep on talking to Luca, but I want to ask you, Ms. Barbara, to just, if you don't mind, bless him with a, let's pray over him, and of course his beloved Italy and Europe, because, you know, they're really just like us, and there is a chance we can lose our freedom if we're not vigilant over here, and the world will be darker for it. So we want to pray for all of us, and that this election, you know, hopefully God will have mercy on us. Ms. Barbara.
Diana, thank you. And before I pray, I want to share a little true story, because you mentioned the national championship tonight between Alabama and LSU. And, of course, we live in Alabama, but one of the players that plays for LSU is named Joshua Williford, and he is from Dothan, Alabama. And I taught him when he was in the seventh grade. We used to call him the gentle giant. He was huge and so gentle and so such a precious young man. But anyway, he had a love for Tennessee, and he dreamed and he hoped and he prayed that he would have the opportunity to play for the Tennessee Vols. And I too love Tennessee. So we have that in common. And in fact, he was going into surgery at UAB, and knowing that his surgeon was an Alabama fan, he had his father right on the bottom of his feet. One of them had go, and the other had Vols. He wanted his surgeon to see this, you know. I mean, he loved Tennessee football, and he loved the University of Tennessee. So he wanted to go there. The Lord said no. That door was shut. But what opened for Joshua was this recruiting at LSU. So he went to LSU. His heart was for Tennessee, but he went to LSU. And he is an outstanding football player. He's number 74. And what the whole point to me is that we don't always know what's best for us, and we desire one thing, and God closes that door, and he opens a different door that's so much better. As a result of this, here's Joshua Williford playing for the national championship. He's been able to have exposure to you know, NFL scouts as a result of LSU's place, the SEC champions now playing for the national championship. And unfortunately, Tennessee has not had a good year, didn't have a good year last year. He would not have had the opportunities had God answered his prayer. And so to me, it's just a testimony of God's goodness and God's wisdom and his blessing on individual lives. So let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, that you are interested, Father, in each one of us, O God, and that you have a plan to fulfill in each one of us. And we thank you, Father, that you gift us with different abilities and talents, Father, so that we can use them for your glory and for the good of mankind, as William Penn, our great American founder, always used to pray, Father, everything to your glory and the good of mankind. We pray, Father, for Luca, and Father, that you would just bless him exceedingly above what he could ask or even imagine, O God. We thank you for his heart, Father. We thank you, Father, that you've allowed us to have a little peek into his heart, Lord, a glimpse of what is there. And it's beautiful, Father, because you placed it there. You formed and fashioned his heart, O God. We thank you for it, and we pray, Father, that you would prosper him in every way, Father. Your word says that we're to pray that others prosper even as their soul prospers. Most importantly, Father, our souls to prosper. But we also pray, Father, that you would prosper him in every way, not just spiritually, but physically, Father, in relationship with others, with you and with others, that you would prosper him physically, Lord. Economically, O God, let his talents be used, Father, and appreciated, Father, recognized that he would be able to achieve much in this time that you give him. We pray for your protection upon him, O God, that you would watch over him, that you would give your angels charge over him, that they would surround him, Father, and guard him in every way, Father. And we thank you that you are Lord, and you have a plan for him, Father, and for Italy, Father, throughout the world. You have good, good, good things for all who will come to you and trust you, O God. And we pray that. We pray that many, 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 Father, multitudes will come to know you and love you and serve you, Lord, that you can bless them as it is your desire to do. We pray, Father, for our country. We pray, Father, for a love of truth, a love of freedom, and, Father, a recognizing that you are Lord. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ms. Barbara. And Luca, you touched me with what you were saying. That just really moved me, what you were saying earlier. And I just thank God, Ms. Barbara, that, you know, for the stand that Tea Party Italia, Luca is making, and David Mazzarella, and their stand is an inspiration to us as we flounder over here. And it just reminds us of what each one of us has to do, our duty to fight for God's light to shine, because it affects not just our country. It affects the world. And we want to join with Luca in helping the young generation in his country and ours, you know, to see that they are precious in God's eyes and they can be better
right.
than what they're
That's
seeing
right.
before them. But the roadmap is there. It's available. It's called the Holy Scriptures. It's ancient. Yes, it's old. It does not change. God does not change. And he loves them, and he will make a way for them if they'll trust him, just like the founders did. The founders of America trusted Jehovah God. So please, feel good generation, if you're listening, don't do what just feels good. Do what is right, because ultimately it will give you that abundant joy. Right, Luca?
Yep, that's it. That's the plan. It's not difficult. It's not difficult. It is very difficult to just apply it, but it's not difficult. The answers are not that hard to find. They're there. They're in your heart. You just need to be wise enough and brave enough to look there and find them. And then, obviously, put them into action, which is the most difficult part. But that's it. Nothing much, nothing complicated. Everyone can do it.
Well, thank you, Luca. And if you don't mind, Luca, tell everyone what the website is and what you would like for them to do.
The website is www.teapartyitalia.it. And still working on the English version, definitely, and sooner or later it will be there. But, you know, Google Translator can actually help them to just get a feel of what is really happening. And there are lots of things happening. We are just moving towards, you know, significant actions against some of the, government overreach that they're doing. And it's growing. We've been receiving a lot of calls lately, and we had some even, you know, very famous journalists and people who are respected. They are jumping on the bandwagon. They are just calling us to do something. This means that, you know, it's changing the whole dynamic. We used to be a small group of people. Now we became tens of thousands. We hope to be hundreds of thousands in the next weeks or months. And then we are trying to just change things. So a lot of things are about to happen. I just cannot just say them right now because we're still working on that. But, you know, change is coming also to it. And so still, if you have any one of you, your parents, relatives, friends, neighbors, who has, you know, Italian blood in their vein and their relatives are still living in Italy, just, you know, let them know that we are here and we're trying. We're trying really hard. Go to the website. You have all the contacts there. Send an email, phone call, whatever. There are guys and girls. They're there. They're just working really hard. We're all volunteers. So if you have a couple of dollars to spare, you know, they're welcome. And that's it. That's all we can do. We're just trying really hard, and we will keep on trying.
Tea Party Italia. Great. And I've been seeing your postings, Luca, and I'm sure Miss Barbara is too, because I think she's got you on Facebook too. And thank you, Luca. I have been loving reading them. And God is so good. We just pray He'll continue to bless you and David and Tea Party Italia. And maybe next month, Luca, Miss Barbara, I think the Patriot Pastor Garrett Lear has some Italian in him. Miss Barbara, do you remember that?
I believe you're right.
And I think, Luca, you're going to love him.
Oh,
he
yes.
Has
helped,
oh, he has helped.
And he will love
he
you.
Has helped, yes. He has helped turn New Hampshire into the red state that it is. So I think we will. We'll work that out. He would enjoy having you on. So God bless you, Luca. Please extend. We are praying for you and Tea Party Italia. God bless you. We'll talk to you again next month.
Yep. Hopefully.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Ms. Barbara, would you like to close us? I know I've been on and on.
Well, listeners, we thank you for joining us today on City on a Hill Radio Show, and we ask that you would share it with your family and friends wherever they are throughout the world, that they will be blessed to hear this also. And we ask that the Lord would bless you, make His face to shine upon you, and bless you in every way, in Jesus' name. Thank you. Bye-bye.